Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
As I read the scripture this morning, I want to challenge you not to try to guess what the message is about, because you may not be accurate. Daniel chapter number 5. In context, just as we begin reading, Nebuchadnezzar was the father of this young man that had certainly gone astray. His name was Belshazzar. He was the king. He was a wicked fella. And there was a day come that there was a lot of things going on, and he knew it. And he threw a great party. And in that party, he had brought out the vessels of gold and silver from the temple that had been acquired by the Babylonians. And they began to drink and party and all of that stuff. And as all of that was going on, his time, his end came up. And the Bible said that a hand appeared that Belshazzar could visibly see. Now, I don't believe in those apparitions today, a lot of people, but that day it occurred. There was a hand that he witnessed writing on the wall. And it told him a message, and he couldn't interpret the message, and so he inquired of Daniel, and that's where we'll pick up at verse number 17. Chapter number 5, verse number 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." Now, he's not giving the interpretation here, but he's given Belshazzar some background, some information. He said, "O thou king most high, God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not nor hear nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" Then was the great part of the hand sent from him, and this was the writing. And this is the writing that was written, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." This is the interpretation of the thing. "Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Lord, we pray you'd open your word to us and this simple truth abide within. May we, Lord, live by its truth. As we ask it earnestly, we pray you'd help us. I pray for every soul that's here, hearing. And may we recognize the importance of our duty, our responsibility as your servants. Go before us, we ask, earnestly in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read the book of Daniel from the first chapter all the way through the 8th or 9th chapter, you'll find compelling stories of men who were kings of what we would know at that point as being the known world. Men who had conquered basically everything and were the rulers. They did as they chose. As we read to you what Daniel said about Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar, whom he would, he slew. Whom he would not, he kept alive. He did basically what he wanted to do. But as an earthly king, the power or the problem with power is that it corrupts the flesh. And here's a man who allowed that very power to exalt himself to a position where God brought him down. Now, we find ourselves now hearing about his son, who knew everything that had taken place with his father, how that God had humbled this man, Nebuchadnezzar. God brought him low. He brought him down to where he dwelt for 7 years on his hands and his knees. He crawled around like an animal, eating the grass of the field and the hay of the oxen, his flesh, his nails growing as the claws of a bird, and the hair on his flesh as the birds or the feathers of a bird. What a pitiful sight. The man that ruled the world, God brought him low just like that. And here he says to Belshazzar, he says, you knew all this. And you know that your very breath is in God's hands. And yet you've rejected him. He said, the message is clear. God has numbered your days and they're over. Your days are over. You've been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting. Now the first message I'm all right with. If God says your days are over, I get to go home. Amen. But if you get weighed in the balance and found wanting, you've got a problem. Because when weighed in the balance, if you've not been saved, if you've not been born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you will be found wanting. And he said to Belshazzar, your kingdom is divided, and it's given to the Medes and Persians. In the very night that this declaration was made, the great city of Babylon was attacked by the Medes and the Persians, and they overthrew it, and they killed Belshazzar the king, and Darius the Mede took over. I'm not here to preach to you this morning about the sovereignty of God, although it's impossible not to. But that's not the message. I do believe, and we have the history to prove it, that God is in control. Regardless of a political party, or whether it be a democracy or a theocracy or an aristocracy, doesn't make any difference. God is in control. He raises up men and he puts them down. And all of that according to his good pleasure and his will. Now that's what we know about the sovereign God who created everything that we know, including us. But I want you to see this morning that there was something common that was present in the lives of all three of these men. I'm not going to preach all three of these men, so don't get uptight. That would take a while, wouldn't it? Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius the Mede. Three kings who were all introduced to God. That humbles me. That in the midst of the ruling of the known world, God had a man. Note to yourself that the kings changed. But who did not change? Daniel. You say, what is my part in this chaos? Things will change. Rulers will change. The wicked that goes on will continue to go on, but it will be ruled by someone else. But what must remain consistent in all of this? What is my purpose in all of the chaos? What is my calling? It is to remain faithful to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to be salt and light to this world that is so dark and suffering at the moment. The ruler will change. That's not the issue. What is at issue is, will we be faithful to the end? Look at the life, just the life of Daniel himself. When Nebuchadnezzar had found himself, God had spoke to him, right? Nebuchadnezzar began to have these dreams. And the Bible said that Daniel came and he interpreted those dreams for him. He told Nebuchadnezzar, but oh, I want you to see the heart of Daniel as he spoke to the king of the known world at the time. And I believe Daniel tried his very best to convince him, to show him that God was a merciful God, and that if he would humble himself before God, that he would change the circumstances. He would help him. And it went okay for a little while, but a year later, Nebuchadnezzar's heart had grown so hard with pride, and he had lifted himself up and said, am I not a God myself? At that moment, the prophecy that had come to Nebuchadnezzar in his own dream came true. And that day, his kingdom was stripped from him, and he was reduced to crawling around on his hands and knees. And as I'd already said, God broke for 7 years. This man was as an animal, the king of the world. And yet God, after 7 years, his heart was broken and humbled, and he raised Nebuchadnezzar back up and he set him back on the throne. You say, who did that? God did. Amen. God did. But what was consistent through all of that, Jeff, was that man, Daniel. Amen. Yeah, he had some friends. He wasn't alone. Oh, I'd like to preach on friends right now, because I want you to know that I need you. Every one of you are important to God. Every one of you have a purpose, but I want you to know today that our purpose is to be consistent through the chaos, that the world may know there is a way out. There is a plan. There is light in this darkness. We are the ones that must remain consistent. Daniel was a slave in all three of these circumstances. Daniel was a captive in all three of these. He was not allowed to do what he wanted, wasn't allowed to go where he wanted, wasn't allowed to go and tend to his own people. And yet what we find is he remained faithful to God. God's will for this man was to serve these wicked kings. And he did so with an upright heart and a pure spirit. He walked before them in a way that every one of these kings knew something about Daniel. Belshazzar knew these things, and yet he rejected God to his own demise. But Daniel was faithful. Darius the Mede comes in. The Medes and the Persians, you can read it in the historical documents of the great takeover of Babylon by the Medes and Persians. It was a tremendous strategy. For outside the walls of the city, they diverted the Euphrates River. And when the river was diverted and the water went down, they could sneak under the gate, and the entire armies of the Medes and the Persians infiltrated the great city, Babylon, and destroyed them. And then we find that Darius the Mede took over.
And the scripture said that he found an excellent spirit in this man, Daniel. Amen. An excellent spirit. And you remember the story about how his peers were so jealous of Daniel, and having already received the commendation of this new king, how they were willing to do anything they could to throw Daniel out. And as they searched for one thing that they could find, that they could accuse Daniel of, to strip him of all the things that he had never asked for, but God had put him into, they found nothing except for his love for his God, his service to his God. You say, what am I supposed to do in all of this chaos? What am I supposed to do? Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what God is doing in the background. He didn't ask me for his opinion. He didn't ask me for my advice. No, God is working according to his divine will and purpose. But I can tell you that I have a calling. I have a purpose in this world, in this hurtful place that we dwell in. The people that are bound by the trouble and the struggle of life. And as they press into this darkness, we are the light for them. We are to be love and compassion. We are to be the care and the sacrifice of Christ. We are to be given unto them as if we were the slaves. And we're to be consistent in this. Do not let anything jeopardize your testimony, regardless of who the king is. Because it doesn't matter. It does not matter. I don't serve a king except that one. That ultimately is where my service and my obedience lies. As Americans are tend to be, we're patriotic. And we serve our country and we believe in our country. But those ideals vary greatly. What it means to be an American now is not unified. It is quite different. And it doesn't matter to me which affiliation you're with. There is wickedness and blindness present in both parties. There is a wickedness and a darkness that prevails in the hearts of most men. He has called for you to stand true in this day that we live in and be a light to this world. But the only way to be a true light is to be the same light today as you are yesterday and the next. Regardless of who's in power, I have a call to serve Him first. And here's what I can assure you, that in serving Him, I will serve man. Kind. That is his purpose for you. That is his purpose for me. Those that are out there in sin, God doesn't hate sinners. He loves them. The world today is wicked because they're blind to the truth of God. He's not looking for someone to punish the sinner. He's looking for someone to preach to them, to save them, to love them. The only ones that can share the gospel are the ones that know the gospel. Darius the Mede took over. Daniel had gone through two kings now. He was a captive, 800 miles from his homeland. And in every circumstance, God raised up this man Daniel to sit underneath these kings and to advise them, to teach them, to show them. And some learned and some did not. The responsibility was for Daniel to be faithful to God in all of this. And he was. Oh, what a picture of the faithfulness of Christ. They did their best to destroy Daniel. The only thing that they could find to accuse him of was the fact that every day he prayed. Be awesome if somebody could accuse me of that. When they looked at my life, they found nothing that they could try me over except that I love God more than anything else. And oh, that could be me. And so they came to the king and they said, "Oh, King, live forever. You're so great and you're so magnificent. We we would like to make a proclamation and would like for you to make it into a law that anybody who asks a petition of any other God but you for the period of 30 days, that they be thrown into the den of lions. Here's a man in darkness, a man blinded by his own success. Here's a man that said, that sounds like a good plan to me. And he sealed it. The law of the Medes and Persians, in you could not change that law, right? That was a law to them. Is when he made a law, it was irreversible. Irreversible. And they said, oh, well, we found Daniel who prays to his God three times a day. They came back. Daniel, having heard and knowing the law, you know what he did? He went and prayed anyhow. You say, what in the world does God want me to do in the midst of this chaos? Stay the course. Do not turn to the left. Do not turn to the right. Do not give up. Do not sit down. Continue to press into the calling that God has given you to be salt and light in this present world. Daniel knew that he was going to be thrown into the den of lions, and yet he still prayed three times a day. The point this morning is that we have a purpose in this. God has called each one of us for this time.
Amen.
Right now, God has a purpose for me and you. We don't control the rise or the fall of empires. Let's be real. In the scheme of things, I am a grain of sand on the shore of the sea. That is me. What makes me different, though, is that what dwells in me is the infinite person of God Himself, who has come through His Son Jesus Christ and made me His own. And therefore, I am uniquely enabled, and so are you, to be something in this world that makes a difference. King loved Daniel, it says, and tore him up that he found out the very law he made was going to have Daniel thrown into the den of lions. Tried his best to figure out how to get it corrected, reversed, his poor choice. And ultimately, all to no avail. You know what they did with Daniel? Huh?
Yeah.
They put him in the den of lions. Wait, but I thought Daniel was doing everything God wanted him to do. Was he not obeying God? Was he not been faithful with Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar? Was he not faithful unto God? Yes. Didn't have anything to do with the den of lions, because even in the den of lions, Daniel was still being faithful. The king told him, he said, Daniel, he said, your God is able to deliver you. Might have been just a pep-up talk, right? He might have been cheerleading for Daniel a little bit, but there was something about Daniel's God that had intrigued him to begin with. He said, Daniel, I can't stop this. It's my fault, mostly. He said, I can't stop it. He said, but your God. He said, He can deliver you. The Bible said they took Daniel and they threw him in the lion's den and they closed that thing up, and all night long the king wouldn't eat or have music, or he just worried all night long. And at daybreak, the Bible said he ran to the den. He ran to where them lions would have devoured the bones of Daniel. And he said, roll that, open that thing up. And he cried into there and he said, oh, Daniel, you want to know what the world is looking for? They're looking for men like Daniel.
Amen.
You know what the king wanted more than anything? He wanted Daniel to be alive. Why? Because suddenly he could believe in something that was above all knowledge. He knew somehow that if Daniel was alive, that changed everything. Oh, Daniel. He cried into the pit of that thing. Daniel, has your God in whom you served continually, was he able to deliver you? Makes me think, Brian, he might have woke old Daniel up. He hollered back. He said, yeah, O king. He said, for God has found me in you innocent in this deal. And he said, this very night he hath sent an angel. And he hath shut the lion's mouth. He said, there's no harm to me. What is my place in this world? I am to be a Daniel, steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is my responsibility. There is none other greater than my King, and my life on this earth should matter to teach and to share and to show other people who live and dwell in the darkness and the despair of this chaos that there is still hope. The hope is not in the man, it was in the God of the man. Come get a song. It was in, he said, Daniel, has your God, right? He didn't say, Daniel, did you figure out a way to stay away from them lions? Did you tame them rascals while you were down there? No, no, he understood. He said, if Daniel's God didn't save him, he's dead. Daniel, did your God save you? Yep. He shut the lion's mouth. And all night long, those lions had nothing harmful at all. You say, what does the world need? They need to know that the God of Daniel is still alive. They need to know that he dwells in people. They need to know that their witness matters and that they are consistent in their belief and their faithfulness. It's the God of Daniel, you see, that we're trying to share. Nebuchadnezzar, he fell. Belshazzar, gone. Darius. And in all of these things, I find only one constant. And that was God's man. Where are you? Where are you? You're trying to find your way in this mess. You're trying to figure out what is my purpose? What am I to do? Let me tell you something. You have the responsibility that is greatest of all. And that is to be unmovable, unchangeable, faithful to God in every circumstance, to be Christ-like and to make a difference in this present world. Can we do it? Yes. Oh, yes. Because, see, the power's never been in me anyhow. It's in my God. He lives in me. Can we do it? Yes. It's not without failure. No, I'm likely to stumble a bit here and there. But can we do it? Yes. What's your friend need? Not somebody to lash out at them. Not somebody to tell them how wrong they are. They know that. When the Spirit of God reaches them, they'll know that. What they need is someone that is consistent, that is loving and serving God every day in their life. Does it mean we have to tell them truth? Yep. Will it offend some of them?
likely. But what is my responsibility? Is it to tell them a lie? Is it to sugarcoat it somehow or another that they're deceived in believing somehow their own goodness can get them to heaven? No. No, I have to be as brave as Daniel, and I have to look the very king in the eye and say, if you don't change, you will perish. But I don't say it with contempt. I don't say it with anger or a hatred or some form of smugness that you're going to finally get what you deserve. No, 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 no. Not Daniel. Not me, nor you. Because we recognize all too clear, had we received what we deserve, we'd be there. We would be lost. Well, if there's ever been a day we need to stand for God, it's now. Those poor people that are just on the outside looking, they have no idea what you're doing in here. They have no idea who it is that you love so much, that you'd keep coming back on Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, that you'd find time to call on Him in the privateness of your own closet. A person that you love and hold so dear that you've made up your mind that whether it be lions or a sword, we will not sit down. Will it matter? Mattered to God. Mattered. The faithful life of Daniel mattered. I'm sorry, I called you too early, didn't I? Just hold on. Don't give up, Steve. Now's not the time for that. Because there's people that need to know. Hear me now. Daniel died a slave. He was happy. Because he was where he was supposed to be, doing what he was called to do. I don't know the purpose. Ultimately, I don't know whether I'll die free or a slave. I have no idea. I have no idea. But I know this. The one that I believe in does not change. He's a deliverer that whether He chooses to deliver you physically out of the bondage, He'll set free what's on the inside. And ultimately, one day, we lay it down anyhow and we go to a better home. Do you know that? Do you have that promise this morning? Oh, if you don't, friend, we're not your enemy. Nothing could be further from the truth. We love you and are just like you. We were lost until He found us. Brought us out of that darkness and into His light. And He's trying to bring you right now. I hope you'll trust Him. Now's the time for us to be faithful, consistent, unmoving for God. Right? And whether your next visitor is a Democrat or Republican has nothing to do with it. Every soul needs Jesus. And every soul is who He died for. But only those that come to Him will be delivered. We've got a great responsibility. I honestly don't know what's going on, to be truthful. All right? If you ask me who the president's going, I don't know, honestly. I just don't. But you know what? I've reserved in my heart that that's really God's business. I did the only thing I had opportunity to do, and I did that with a clear conscience, right? After that, it's in the hand of the divine and sovereign in whom I have chose to put my trust, and I know will not fail. But I have a job to do. I have a job to do. Whether it's for the next 4 years or the next 40 years, my job has always been the same. Tell people about Jesus. That He loves them. He died for them. They can know Him. Well, that was a long invitation, but I want you to know that Jesus loves you today. And if you'd like to pray, why don't you come pray? Get right with God. Amen. Don't waste no time. You better make it right with God while He's calling on you, while He's speaking to you. Come to Him today. He loves you just like He loved me. As we sing,